This evening, I'd like to talk for just a few minutes about something that I know each and every one of us here tonight long for, something that seems to kind of be missing in our world today. And so what I'd like to talk about is peace. There's a lot of different lessons that could be sermons that could be preached on the subject of peace. But tonight, I'd just like to make a couple of points regarding peace. One, the idea of a peacemaker. What is a peacemaker? And what are the benefits of a peacemaker? And then the fact that God has promised us peace. Theodore Roosevelt, who was our 26th president, was often known for using the phrase, "speak softly and carry a big stick." Now, this phrase promotes gentleness and success to all those that would try diplomacy, but it can also carry or pack a punch for anyone that doesn't. As Christians, does this kind of thinking align with what the Bible teaches us? Should we promote peace in the world by speaking softly, but have a big stick just in case that doesn't work? In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus lists what we've come to call the Beatitudes. This is a list of those who God esteems highly in this list. And in verse 9, the scripture says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So we have a group of people here who are referred to as peacemakers. But what is a peacemaker? And who are peacemakers? I'm sure we've all known people who we would consider peacemakers by the life that they live. Someone that is perhaps gentle. They're able to deter certain situations as things get heated. And sometimes when they come in and intervene and they're between two people who are in an argument, let's say, we refer to them as peacemakers. Perhaps you've known someone like that. I worked with a gentleman a long time ago. He was very strong. A lot of people kind of didn't cross him. He was just a rough truck mechanic. But whenever there was a conflict in the shop, he was oftentimes the one that would come in and just in his own way, he could kind of dismantle the situation before it got too heated. So I often thought of him as a peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone that promotes peace in their life. They can do that many different ways. It can range from someone who's able to diffuse a situation like that to someone that's able to extend grace or mercy to those people that have wronged you, done something maybe to you that has offended you, and yet they're still able to extend grace. Or maybe it's to some others who just like to stir the pot, keep things stirred up. In my profession, I see that a lot. Gentlemen like the one that I mentioned earlier was able to diffuse a lot of those situations. But Jesus makes an observation here in verse 9 about peacemakers. He said, "They shall be called sons of God." This should be a powerful motivation for each one of us as we consider our lives, that we should be, as a Christian, we should be peacemakers, regardless of the situation, regardless of who's wronged us or how we've been wronged. This should be something that we strive for. We should be peacemakers because God is a lover of peace. See, God has no toleration for hatred, in our heart or for deeds that we do that destroy our fellow mankind, or pride that can be divisive or that can divide man. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 14, Scripture says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." In Paul's letter here to the church at Rome, he writes about the marks of a true Christian. He challenges the church here to love genuinely, to hate whatever is evil, to show brotherly affection or kindness to others in rejoicing with them when they rejoice and weeping with them when they weep. But then in verse 18, verse 18 actually says, "If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." So we as Christians are to live peaceably with fellow mankind. As unpredictable as things are in our world today, we're not living in the same world that we were just a few short months ago. And as unpredictable as things are, we as Christians should definitely, consistently live a life of peace, of being a peacemaker. Too often, though, it's easy for us to play the blame game. It's easy for us to say, but they did this or they did that. Or you wouldn't believe what that person had to say. Other people sometimes do things that make it difficult for us to live a life of peace, but we can't control that. We can't control other people. Things like that are out of our control, but what Paul says here is that our actions, or we should control our actions, control what we have to say. That's the only way that we're going to be able to have any control over peace in our life. Paul charges the Christians here to place the responsibility on ourselves as to how we live and dwell with others. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." There may be some times when it's difficult for us to be peacemakers. We'll have a competition, so to speak, within ourselves about being a peacemaker versus some type of retaliation when someone does something wrong to us. But if we're to be true Christians, we must choose to be peacemakers in those situations. If we're going to be peacemakers, we also need to have peace in our own life. We must live a life that exhibits peace. But how can we receive peace, and where does peace come from? Brings us to the second part of the lesson. God promised peace to all those who are faithful, even to the Israelites back in Leviticus. As Moses gives the Israelites the law there in Leviticus, God makes a great conditional promise to them. Turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 26. I'll begin reading there in verse 3. Leviticus 26, verse 3. "If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time of sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall chase 10,000. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store, long kept. You shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. So here, God makes a promise to the Israelites that if they will do what he would have them do, if they would remain faithful, he gives them a promise of peace. Many things have changed between the old law and the new law. However, God's promise that we can enjoy peace in our lives if we choose to be faithful in him has not changed. Christians have an avenue of prayer to the Father to help relieve all the anxiety, the heartaches, the troubles that we experience in this life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, reading verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what's the solution here to all the heartache and the anxiety and the problems that we experience? It's that avenue of prayer. Prayer has a rich effect on our lives. Notice again what Scripture says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Mortal minds may not can understand this peace and how God is able to give it to us in our lives as we need it. But one thing's true, he is able to provide peace. We as Christians also have a great peace from knowing that if by remaining faithful, that we've got the promise of heaven. This peace is only found by living a Christian life, a faithful Christian life. Christ gave his life to pay the price for our sins that we were not able to pay on our own. What other thought can you think of that can give you true inward peace in your life? Perhaps there's someone here tonight who is struggling with peace, not having peace. Maybe there's someone here tonight who was living a faithful Christian life, but for some reason have allowed the cares of the world to pull them away. They're not experiencing peace, anxiety, stress, different things of the world may have be pulling on you. You can once again receive the peace. Or perhaps there's someone here tonight who has not yet become a Christian. You've not been able to enjoy the peace in knowing that you have a home in heaven. Whatever your need is tonight, we'd like to ask you to come as together we stand and sing.
Volunteer. your